B-Pod Studios.
Hello?
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Live from the auto show. Yes, it is the Midday Show. Jason Martinez, I'm Anthony Gargano, in the middle of the auto show, Supercars.
Midday show at the auto show.
I look around, Jason, and I see these amazing vehicles, and they all have one thing in common.
What's that?
I will never be able to drive any of them.
Well, there's some...
The Maseratis and the Porsches, and oh my God, they're outrageous.
Come on, Johnny Sack drove a Maserati, then he had to give it to Chrissy. Sold it for cash, pennies on the dollar.
All right, we got to start with this because I'm really kind of excited, and I need you to tell me whether that's right or wrong, but I'm really kind of getting in on this streak, all right? They win again last night. The kid is sensational.
41 saves.
I'm enjoying it. Now, I'm a fraud because I'm a lose for use guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the game. I want them to win. When I sit down,
you want to be entertained.
I want them to win. Like there's innately when you watch a game, you're going to root. Like your mind doesn't tell you that. It just is. It's what's in your heart. And I watch it. I go, I'm rooting for them to win. And I'm like really enjoying it.
Well, you're getting caught up in the excitement of two things. One, that the way they're playing is more entertaining. It's an entertaining product.
It's the goalie, though.
And it's the goal. And winning, it cures all ills in sports. Yeah. And when you rattle off eight, and it's not like they've beaten donkey teams.
No.
They haven't. You know, they beat Boston. Wow. They beat Winnipeg. I mean, they've beaten some good teams. And and you're right. And I think the big part, and you alluded to it, is it's... You know, it's the false messiahs along the way of goaltenders that we thought could be the guy, from Maxime Ouellette and all these guys over the years, to the prophet that is a lot of people feel is Carter Hart. And I'm like, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. The sample size is still small.
I know, but like
mountain's big to climb.
But you watch him, and he looks real.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he looks.
Oh yeah.
Like I would be crushed if he's not the answer goal. I'm not saying. He's got to be Bernie. You know what I'm saying? But if he's not the answer where he's your starting goalie for the next however.
Decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody would because a lot of those goalies that came in, some of them had higher and different levels of pedigree. And he comes in with an extreme high level of pedigree and performance to back it up at all levels in junior and on the world junior stage as well. Record-setting numbers, all of that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, he's come in with a lot of hype, but he's backing up the hype with incredible play. And the one thing that's different with him is the mental part of his game and maturity level is off the charts. I mean, it is off the charts for a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, you watch how he anticipates the play.
Well, it's amazing.
You know, I mean, but it's so rare where a young goalie, and you know this, you played the position a long time, a young goalie that's always in the perfect position. I mean, usually that's the last thing that comes is that feel that you have where, you know, you might rely more on your athleticism than really your brain and the fact that he anticipates the play so well.
Well, that's stuff that comes with repetition, right? You got to see it all the different scenarios. But when you have that, when you come in as a built-in skill set, that's what sets you apart. And I think that's clearly, and you make a great point. I think that is what is setting him apart. And he makes a lot of saves in the middle of his body because he's in the right spot. But then you see last night again, and with a one-goal lead, to make an absolutely athletic save. That he doesn't give up on the play. It was like a Hasek save, diving across inside of the box.
Dominator.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at that, you get all pumped up, and you go, this kid's got the full Monty of the skill set, and it's exciting because it's changed everything with the team, the whole mindset of not only the players that play and the coaches and everything, but the fan base as well. So it is a great thing. Big mountain to climb still if they want to get into the playoffs. Another five back now. But Columbus does have 2 points in hand, and it can be done. They've got 29 games left, so there's still some runway here to deal with. It can be done. Other teams have come back from a bigger deficit with less games. Just go back to Ottawa a couple years ago with the Hamburglar. They did it. But
Hamburglar.
Well, because he was stealing games.
He was.
Andrew Hammond was his name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it can be done. So it's exciting. It's good for the team, and it's good. I wonder if people are, like, kind of buying in, though. You know, I'm not sure that they are.
Well, I mean, it's hard not to get swept up in it because I found myself, like, last night, like, I actually look forward to
sitting down.
Yeah, I really did. I was looking forward to the game. I look forward to the game. We're in the Super Bowl.
Well, that stands to reason. And the Super Bowl didn't deliver, and the game did.
I know. Although, I got to tell you, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it, I was out yesterday. I didn't hate it as much as everybody else did.
What, really?
Yeah.
What was there to like about it, though?
I liked the defense.
That wasn't defense. That was a lack of execution offensively.
I mean, Belichick's ridiculous.
Yeah, and he mean, makes like, it look like that. I get it.
Like, he completely shut down that Rams offense.
Yeah. Goff looked like he didn't know what he was doing.
It was scheme. Mm-hmm. It was completely scheme. They were blanketed. They stopped the run, and they were blanketed. I mean, Coast got free for a little bit, but I mean, that was incredible coaching.
It was.
And I always kind of like that.
Yeah, I can handle it when it's, you know, a rarity, like the massive, you know, shootout games. I'm fine with that when it's a rarity. I don't want that all the time, and I don't want games like the Super Bowl where they're low scoring, you know, 16 points as a normal thing either. But I was disappointed because it was the Super Bowl, and you expect a little bit more. And it just wasn't high-flying. But, I mean, here's the deal, though, Ant. You know, the Eagles beat Tom Brady in his best Super Bowl performance, and the Rams lost to Tom Brady in his worst.
There's
something to be said for that.
It was pretty amazing because he looked completely out of it.
First pass of the game. You know, what?
Yeah, and he just looked old.
His face looked different.
Yeah, he did.
The way he carried himself, body language.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
That, you know, I can't believe they won. Because I thought that if the game played out like that, where Brady would be ineffective, that the Rams somehow would win.
Mm-hmm.
One of the mistakes, McVay came up small too, because one of the mistakes I thought he made was not going tempo.
Oh, yeah, and they're a play-action team. He didn't do enough play-action, but he couldn't because they couldn't set up
run. Well, you can't get the runs. So yeah. I get that. But that's when you got to go to tempo. And there are a couple times, if you remember, in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, we had a couple drives where it looked like they had something going.
Mm-hmm.
And then he huddled back up, man. I was like, you got to keep running. You got to run it.
And he coached it with a passivity, too. He was a bit passive as a coach.
He was.
A couple opportunities
to
push
it. That's right.
You can't do that.
No, that's right.
If you're going to go against Brady and Belichick, you got to have balls big enough to carry in a dump truck.
Yep.
And he didn't.
So
he got out-coached by virtue.
So here's the question. I'm sure you talked about it yesterday, but I need you to indulge me. Would the Eagles have beaten the Rams and the Patriots?
I don't know. I'm ashamed of myself because I tweeted out that if Alshon catches that ball, the Eagles are in that game and they're leading at halftime to go back-to-back. And I felt like, oh, geez, why'd I do that? I feel like a Saints fan now or a Vikings fan.
Right, right. But it's hard not to think about that.
Yeah, you're
right.
It
really is hard not to think about it because you watch the ineffectiveness of the Rams offense and you remember what Foles did last year.
Yeah.
And you remember what Doug did last year.
But
what does that mean?
But I also remember what Foles did against New Orleans, and they only had 14 points. You know?
Yeah.
So if you're being, I mean, if you remember through last year's lens, then yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it isn't last year.
But what is the difference, all right? What was the difference between the New England defense 2 years ago and the New England defense on Sunday?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Obviously, no Malcolm Butler, and their secondary's a lot better than it was.
Yeah, they lost Chung, though, too.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean...
But their corners are a lot... their corners are a lot better.
No doubt.
And they have depth at safety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, that's one thing. But, Chase, it's hard to... When you
feel like there's a missed opportunity.
A little bit.
Now, you going to go back and still give Alshon that standing ovation at the Sixers game?
Yes. Yes, I still can't just kill him.
I thought I had you.
I know.
I thought I could get you to turn.
It's a good argument. It's a good argument. All right, we got lots to get to. I got to ask you, because I want to dive into the Flyer thing, and I want to know if, you know, what people feel about, because there's something special. I miss them.
Yeah.
All right? I do. This is the perfect
It's like you missed the Sixers.
I missed them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I got the Sixers back, so I'm loving it.
And we're missing the Phillies.
But I missed, yes. I missed the Flyers. Like, I love when they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I love
when they matter.
I do. When they matter, it's a cool thing. And that kid makes me believe that it's come. It's around the corner.
Well, there's another element to it, too, and I'll get to this real brief, is that they're winning these games in the 8-game point streak. It's Carter Hart's a huge part of it, but it's also other young players. Provorov's found his game. Sanheim is a big part. Nolan Patrick's been a big part. JVR, the free agent acquisition, is a big part. Konechny's a big part. Yeah. When you have, it's the young kids leading
well, Provorov,
the way.
Provorov, I've been saying to you, because he's been, like, just been in neon watching how good he's been playing.
Yeah, no question about it. So, this is my point about losing for Hughes. If that doesn't portend well for your franchise, because all these other guys are playing well,
I mean,
that's
you're right. You've been saying that, and you're not wrong. And it's better that they win. Look, it's better that you go on a streak like this because it does give you hope. I just want a little more assets.
Yeah. Now, we also got some Lou Riddick auto we got to play when we come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I got to get your thoughts on what Carson had to say. You weren't thrilled with it. I'm stunned by this. I liked what he had to say.
Yeah, I was a little bit like, we'll get into it. I was a little, not squeamish, but I'll tell you how I feel.
All right, 610-632-0975. We're coming to you live from the Auto Show. Midday show at the Auto Show.
Sixers
29
Raptors
towns.
Tonight, too.
Yeah, we got a big game tonight, too. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight. Get to the Auto Show February 4th through the 10th here at the PA Convention Center. We'll tell you all about it throughout the program. 610-632-0975. It's Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, right here, exclusively on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let me tell you about the uncles over at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. You know, it was funny because I was talking to Uncle Greg yesterday, and he was telling me that he actually started his auto career when there used to be a dealership on Passyunk Avenue, and I remember on 17th and Passyunk, and he started there when it was in the 50s. And I was like, "Why? You gotta be kidding me!" Like when you think about a dealership that starts. And he was 17 years old, and it was like in the early 60s, and he has his dealership. And then you look at today, and you go, wow, this guy knows what he's doing. And that's why I tell you, go to the uncles, because they know how to navigate this stuff, all right? Like, they know the best thing for you. They can get the deals done no matter what's going on with your credit. They're going to put you in the right vehicle. They're going to make your vehicle dreams come true as best they can. You got to check out the uncles. Greg and Paul at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you won't find a better man, too. He's a wonderful, wonderful. I couldn't recommend anyone higher than I do Greg and Paul. They are just gentlemen. Go see them. I'm telling you, they're easy to get to. Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall. Check them out. FamilyAutos.com. See dealer for details.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
O'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
All right, live at the Auto Show at the Convention Center. I do like the Convention Center.
This is awesome when you're here. You got the road map with the carpet that looks like the two-lane highway with the double yellow line. Don't cross the double line.
Yeah, I did my shop. It's funny, I haven't been to the Auto Show in a long time.
Oh, really? I've been here every year.
Yeah.
Working with Mike and coming down every year. It's cool, man. Like,
this
country
bike,
loves
man.
Cars.
Yeah.
Right? And you remember when you were a kid, you're like, oh, I want to get the Z28, whatever it is, whatever car you loved as a kid. And now your tastes change a lot. But it's awesome. I love it. Down. I mean, we got a NASCAR right next to us. You know, a stock racing car. You got to see the steering wheels on the top.
Yeah, I like
screwed in.
I went and before the show, I saw the Rolls.
Oh, really? Oh, see, they're starting to unveil.
See, that's cool, man. Like, not for nothing. The Rolls, like, it doesn't get
dignified.
It doesn't get cooler than a Rolls.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a Rolls, You're the man.
When you got that grill on the Rolls Royce.
Exactly. Right? I don't know anyone. You know anybody's Rolls?
No. No, I don't hang in those circles. A roll, yeah, like a dinner roll.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know anybody that's got a Rolls.
Yeah.
I don't, like, imagine, you know, you have a Rolls. Like, you can just imagine, you know.
I used to pull up to the...
some estate in England.
Well, by the station, there's a bank there that AI used to bank at, and I banked at the same place. Believe me, he had a lot more bank than I had. But I'd pull, and you'd see the Rolls parked out front, and AI be in there with his boys doing his banking. And the Rolls would be sitting out front in the fire lane.
What was the car that we had?
He had a Bentley, too.
The Bentley. It was a Bentley, right? So he would... It's a great story. One of the great AI stories, among many, was they would eat crabs in the car. Him and his friends.
What?
Yeah, I kid you not.
Like cracking crabs?
Crabs. They'd get crabs, drive around, and they would eat crabs. And they would throw the shells on the floor
Bentley?
Yes.
Like wiping their hands on the seat?
Yeah, and he would just get a new one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, he would, could you imagine?
Yeah, man, let's pick up a bushel.
Right, like, that was pretty good. You're driving around, and you're cracking crabs, and just throwing them. Like, that's where there's just you have no, like, understanding of property.
Yeah, or dollar.
Right? Like, you have no understanding of it.
Yeah, you've lost touch.
Just to fling the crabs. Somebody used to clean it. Like, I told somebody, detailing it. And they were like, it was the most disgusting. Like, could you imagine crabs sitting around?
Oh, yeah, stink.
And the Bentley.
Oh, God.
Amazing. Amazing story. All right. Let me get to Carson real quick. So, look, I thought what he said was typically Carson, right? Like, mm-hmm. He said the right thing.
Took accountability.
The only thing is I thought he gave that story too much credence. And again, I'm not saying the story was inaccurate. I thought it was just skewed. And I thought the context of that story was off.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, like, dude, like, why do you got to answer? Why do you need to say, well, you know, maybe I got to be more coachable and when I got to do this? And just go out and play football, man.
See,
just go be the alpha.
In theory, I agree with you, because what you did was you extended the conversation. But here's the deal. He knows that six of those players were on the record, and there's probably others that maybe feel that way. So what he did was says, well, I got to look at myself. And what he did by doing that was being a big-time leader and not denying it, which he could have done, and took the accountability. And I think that goes a long way in that locker room. I really do. Because there's a lot of jealousy in pro sports, especially for a franchise quarterback that's about to get, you know, over $100 million contract.
Yeah,
I know. A lot of jealousy.
But here's to me, you handle it internally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. Yo, fellas, seriously, you got a beef? You got a beef with me? Just sit down and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I'll try to acquiesce. Assuming I'm in the wrong, I'll try to acquiesce, and I'll try to meet you and make you feel better about what I'm doing.
Yeah. I that would have been the perfect scenario for none of this ever to get out, right? And have, like, it take, like, place, like, that
instead,
way. Yeah.
Instead of even addressing the story, like, to me, you go inside, you have that talk with everybody. Like, I don't know, dude, like Nelson Aguilar. I don't know. You got a problem? Nelson, come here, talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel like
I'm not going to berate you, I just want to talk about it.
Right. If you feel like I'm missing you, you know, I apologize. And, you know, let's work together and work towards, work towards it. You know, whatever. I'm just using him as throwing it out there. But that's, to me, is a better way than even talking about it publicly.
Yeah, I agree, because that, like I said, it extends the story. Now, here's the other part of it, though. And when you look at, I can't wait for True Detective Season 4, because you know Carson, and he alluded to it, is playing detective to try and figure out who opened up their mouth and aired the dirty laundry.
Yeah.
Because, look, those people are going to have to sit down and see if they can move forward. Because if there's a lack of trust with the guys that you're going to war with, then that's an issue. And, you know, Lou Riddick talked about, we'll get to that in a minute, but there's so, and Carson alluded to it, too. You know, what he had gone through, not being able to play, doing all that heavy lifting to get the Eagles into position to get home field, and then have Nick, continue to, you know, play really well and earn it, but to also, on the back of what Carson Wentz already accomplished, get that accolade, and then to have it, you know, come to this year, not be able to play the first 2 weeks and watch again, then get hurt early on with the back and still coming back from the ACL and LCL. All of that, I mean, that's really, that's human nature. It's going to be really hard for a guy. So it's, I made the point yesterday, like, you can't keep Foles around here. Like, people are saying, why don't you just franchise him and keep him? Because you don't have to pay Carson this year. Because you got to remove that distraction. He can't be looking over his shoulder. You had to make the decision. And you made the decision. You
went like, to me, move on. Yeah, I hear you. I want to use Foles for the asset.
Mm-hmm.
All right, like, I want it now that there is a market for Nick, you're better used to that. I think the byproduct of him being traded, you're right, will only help Carson in that respect.
Freeze his mind.
It does. But I kind of look at him, and he's gone through two really difficult years.
Mm-hmm.
Really difficult.
For a competitor, it's really hard.
When you think about him, I'm not telling you you should, you know, have sympathy, but, you know, empathy is another thing. Like, where you look at it and go, I understand that. Yeah. He went through something. It's hard in his career. And again, you know, what he did 2 years ago to get them to the Super Bowl, It was no joke.
Yeah,
and I mean, they don't win it without his regular season.
And we do know this: he was selfless after he was hurt too. He was the first one in that building, in the quarterback room, doing everything he could to help them along. That's hard to do. It's hard to swallow your pride and do that. It really is, and not have resentment and jealousy. And you have it, but he didn't let it manifest itself. And maybe it did a little bit this year, and that was part of the issue for some of the players. I don't know, but that's human nature. But with all of this, Anthony, comes the one thing in sports. It's always there, and that's pressure. But pressure can be turned up, right? And how people react to pressure, both internally, the pressure you put on yourself, and through expectations and what you think you can do, can debilitate certain players.
My God, I mean, you think about there's no one under more pressure than he is.
Oh, yeah, considering what happened the last 2 years, you're absolutely right.
In this town.
Yeah, that's the other
part. Like,
yeah.
The fact, I mean, you think about it. So he's got pressure every way he looks. Think about, he's in the middle, all right, of a circle. And you have all these roads jutting out from this circle. All these paths.
Yeah, he's like a hub.
Okay? Right. Like the Boston Bruins symbol. All right? So every which way he looks, there's pressure.
Yep.
There's pressure to live up to the contract he's going to sign. There's pressure to stay healthy. There's pressure to win. There's pressure to perform at a level that Nick Foles did.
Because you're the second overall pick.
And then ultimately, there's a pressure to win the Super Bowl.
Because the other guy did.
And and the problem about the pressure about winning the Super Bowl is that we know how precious that is. And the feat that it is. It's not easy just to say, oh, now you got to win a Super Bowl. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it took 51 years.
Yeah.
And, right?
And it was agonizing.
Yeah. So, look, he's every which way he looks, and you can't win the Super Bowl in one game, 1 week, or one off season, and he's going to, like, that's the biggest test that he's gone through.
Well, let's hear from Lou Riddick, because he talked about that pressure and the pressure that Carson Wentz will be under.
How many teams have you seen where the backup quarterback or another player has, like, a shrine to the backup quarterback?
I mean, that
and
was
how many
telling.
People? How many teams have you ever seen where the backup quarterback has billboards throughout a city where people are thanking you and calling you Saint this and Savior that? And now, that may sound like, well, that's just people being appreciative and people liking, you know, Nick Foles for what he did, and he was Super Bowl MVP. But look, man, the fact of the matter is, when you say this, you know, and I don't even remember what I answered, whether it's an overreaction or not, but it's not an overreaction to say that this drama is far from over, because look, there is evidence that this football team responded differently to Nick Foles.
Yes.
Okay? And the offense played differently with Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
And there was evidence that the offense was struggling some with Carson Wentz. Not that Carson isn't a great person, maybe a great leader, tremendous talent, but the team responded. So when you say that the quarterback drama is not over, it's not an overreaction. It's not over, because Carson needs to prove that he learned something from watching Nick Foles, and that maybe he can, maybe less is more for Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. Dial it back some. Learn something from Nick. Maybe people start putting shrines in their locker to you. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to be facetious or sarcastic.
It's funny, though.
But you don't see that happening. I don't know any other team that's like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, that backup quarterback had a lot of cachet in this locker room.
Well, the drama's going to continue, Ant, because Nick Foles is not going to be here. And if Carson doesn't perform well, you shouldn't have got rid of Nick Foles. That's going to just keep happening. No, this is going to be drama.
And look, there were times when the pressure swallowed up Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
He was a different guy when he first got drafted in his first couple seasons as the Eagles quarterback. I mean, he was fun-loving. I mean, he was never the, like that alpha thing we talk about. That was never him. He just enjoyed being, you know, part of the guys. And I thought it worked well for Donovan that the defense were the leaders on the team.
Right. Yeah, big time.
Vincent, Dawkins, Trot. Like, those guys were the leaders. He was never that guy. And so the pressure, particularly when T.O. comes and losing the title games, and T.O. comes and you still don't win, and it really swallowed him up. You could see he changed, and he became calloused. And you understand it. You understand that stuff's real, and that's something you have to keep an eye on. You hope that, you know, Carson never succumbs to that. Lou Riddick's right. You know, I mean, he looks at Nick Foles, and he's got to figure out, all right, well, what do I do? And the other question is, what about the offense? Is the offense better under Nick Foles? Why? And can it jive with me? Can I get back to where I was 2 years ago with this offense? Maybe it's before the RPOs. He talked about, you know, Nick Foles' plays.
Yeah. Yeah, and the 12 and a half games that he had in the 2017 season, that's what you're looking to get back to. Can he do it? And there's going to be a lot of drama along the way, because there's people that come in on both sides, and you can make a legit argument on both sides, although I believe you can make the more legit argument on the Wentz side. That's just where I fall in. And I know you fall in that way as well.
Yeah, you think?
Slightly. 610-632-0975. That is the number. Let's get to the phones. Let's talk to Tom in Deptford. He starts us off on the Midday Show live from the Auto Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tommy?
What's up, guys? Man, I got a classic AI story. Okay, I worked at a dealership, okay, and that same crab story. Okay, I think he bought one of the cars over the weekend. Somehow, some way, the car was in an accident. Okay, and what happened was, okay, this is no lie. God's honest truth. I worked there. It looked like it was in the drive-by. So what happened was, I come down to drop a folder on the office, and I smell crabs. And I'm like, oh my God, that was just... Don't worry about it. And the owner flipped out because this real particular bed had a shoe on, and he's eating crabs on like last table. And the owner comes down and goes, "What stinks?" One of the managers pulls him aside and says, "Shh, shit, keep it quiet. We just made like $50,000 off him again. He's trading in another car in like three days. The car was hit from the taillight to the headlight. It was sideswiped from front to back. Unbelievable, dude.
Oh my God.
We used to make so much money off of him. It was crazy, dude. He's in cars. Like we used to go buy a pair of shoes.
Tommy, how nuts is that? But the crab thing, like, who eats crabs in your car?
Dude, listen, it was unbelievable. He was eating them like he was at a dinner table.
it's not like a crab's like a soft pretzel.
I'm telling you, Aunt, it was at a dinner table, like it was nothing. We have like $10 million in inventory in the showroom, and he's just like the dinner table. I'm like, this guy's amazing, dude.
Like he's at a picnic bench with the white sheet of paper on top.
Yes, like
Joe Crab Shack.
You would not believe it.
That's classic, Tommy. Yeah,
I got a Sixers point.
Yeah.
My question is, I mean, they got to make a move, dude.
I know.
You're not going to be able to go. And the thing that worries me is that, like, they have nothing to give up.
Yeah. And, I mean, you have the asset of taking on a contract that you have.
I mean, listen, somebody give away that 21 pick. I mean, you roll and you give it away.
I don't care about it.
That's the thing, though, Tom. This time of year, you got to realize that being able to take money, thanks for the call, being able to take money this time of year is an asset.
It is, yeah. Listen, I wouldn't worry about any picks either. Like, I agree with Tom. I think Elton's really sharp. So I think Elton will understand, and no, he understands. He knows what they need. Mirotić is the guy that I think is a perfect fit, because what he does is that he fills the four spot for you, where then you can move Chandler to the bench, and he can shoot the three. So, you know, he's a better Ilyasova.
Yeah.
I mean, Mirotić is a good ball player. And he'll board for you, he'll hop back. He's a space creator because he can shoot. That's the guy I would really want. Now, I don't know with New Orleans. New Orleans is a mess right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're trying to figure out what to do with Anthony Davis.
Drew Holiday.
The whole thing. But Mirotić is the guy that I think would be a great fit here.
And the four is the one you probably have to trade for to get what you need. Yeah. And the backup ball handler, point guard.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys that
will shake free.
Yeah.
But again, the trade deadline's coming up on Thursday at 3 o'clock. They're running out.
Then after that, you'll have all the buyouts.
Yeah.
So the buyouts, like you can stock up your bench with those kinds of guys, the buyout guys.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like I would love that Mirotić.
Yeah.
I would.
Well, were you surprised they didn't retain Corey Brewer?
Yes.
I was surprised by that that came out yesterday.
I was, and I thought, you know, like he can't shoot. See, the problem with Corey Brewer, now I like his defense and comes in, but he can't
shoot. Veteran.
He can't shoot. And you got that spot, those spots, you got to get shooters.
What it tells me is that Elton Brand's done some intel, and there's either a move looming, like on the horizon.
Yeah, well, he's not spending the money.
Or he knows somebody's going to shake free that's going to fill that role better than Corey Brewer.
Without a doubt. Yep. He sees that it's the money that he's not spending.
And they would have had to commit to Corey Brewer for the rest of the season.
Yep.
And he wasn't willing to do it. So he knows that he's going to fill that role and upgrade that role come hell or high water.
Yeah, I like Elton. I think Elton's a real smart dude.
I wonder, like,
he knows the league, obviously. He played it.
Knows
the agents. I mean, he's relatable.
High-level player.
Really works. He's a grunt, too. Like, he was a grunt of a player, right.
Yeah.
He was a worker bee. And I think that translates. I think that attribute is what you need as a GM.
Yeah. I kind of wonder, like, where people's, like, kind of sports mind is right now. Because, you know, the football season's over with the Super Bowl, but it never ends around here. And we do have this drama with Wentz and everything that surrounds that. And then you look at, you know, the Flyers have an 8-game win streak, and Carter Hart's taking the league by storm and the city by storm. But I still, to my contention, that most people aren't paying attention unless you have a chance to win a cup in that sport. And then you have the Sixers who play the Raptors tonight, Ant, and what's going to be a huge game. They're 1-2 against the Raptors this season. And all hands on deck tonight, because when they beat the Raptors at home right before Christmas, they didn't have Kawhi.
Yep.
This is the superstars are out to play tonight. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. We're live at the Auto Show. It's Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Speaking of the shows, well, how about Window Nation? Well, you see them at the home show. And smart shoppers know that the best deals are always in the off season. You can buy a snowblower, snow boots, or a sweater in the summertime, and you'll save money. You wait until fall when the cold weather's rolling in, you pay full price, maybe more. Window Nation knows this too, and they're offering an amazing deal where you can buy two windows and get two free and get 0% financing for 5 full years. If you buy four windows, you get 4 free. Buy 8, you get 8 free. No limit. Plus, if you call by Sunday with the purchase of a house of windows, Window Nation's going to pay your heating bill until the new windows are installed. You're going to save thousands. Window Nation does it room by room. They install that way to cause as little disturbance in your home as possible. Plus, they're paying your heating bill. Window Nation needs to keep the factory busy and their workers and their installers working during the slower months. And after this nasty cold weather we just saw a week ago, well, you know you need new windows. You feel that cold air leaking in. Buy in the off season and pay the lowest prices of the year. It's guaranteed. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Get 2 free windows with every 2 you buy with no limit plus 0% financing for 5 full years. Again, the number 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
From the Auto Show. It's my man Dave over here.
What's Philly Philly.
Who's been busted his hump around here. And he's going to the game tonight.
Oh, that's a good game to have tonight.
So there's, and it's just like, there's something about like game day, you know? Look forward. But you get to look forward all day long to a game.
And you know the stars are out.
Right.
I mean, like Kawhi and Kyle Lowry. And it's going to be fun tonight.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to tonight, too. Like, I was lathered up for last night. I'm lathered up for tonight. That's why I love it. You know, football is great, but you wait all week for it. And that's why I love, you know, the 82-game season. Where I, look, I'd love to lop off some games because they mean more. But I like the 82 because you get a lot.
I don't mind the 82.
Yeah, I like the ride.
The 162 needs to be lopped off.
Yeah, to about 16.
No, it needs to be lopped off, and you need to expand the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you because the playoffs are great.
The playoff baseball is incredible.
Yeah, because you're hanging
but
on
to me,
the bench.
September, October, I would have be nothing 2 months of playoffs.
Yeah.
Just the way the NBA does, April, May, and part of June, I do the same thing with baseball.
So
September 1, playoffs start.
So did you see the tweet from Bryce Harper after the Super Bowl? Like 10:04, Super Bowl Sunday evening? He puts out a tweet and just says, loading, ... Now, Rhys Hoskins put out that same tweet, I guess, a couple months back. Loading. I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's a video game term or what it is. I think that's, when you load your video game, and that's what it says on the screen, like loading. But, like, that was just the tweet, like loading, ... I don't know what it means, though. I have no interpretation. Somebody can explain that to me. I'd love to know what it means. Like, and you know for sure. Like, I'll speculate it. It's a video game thing.
Next week's pitchers and catchers.
Yeah, and Andrew brought this up yesterday. There are 100 free agents in baseball not signed.
Yeah, because
of those two.
Of Harper and Machado.
Yeah, this is a disgrace. Is it incumbent upon Rob Manfred to step in and say, hey, guys, there's no rule that I can all of a sudden.
But here's the problem.
Commissioner rule
the
I can
The biggest
add.
Problem is the Players Association.
Yeah.
It is incredibly powerful in baseball, and it dictates policy.
Well, Manfred's got to step in and say, hey, guys, I know that this is collectively bargaining,
yeah, go,
but this is bad for the game. So it's bad for us. It's bad for you. It's bad for everybody.
Yeah, they're going to go, yeah,
okay.
And?
Yeah.
We have our union to worry about.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, their membership is all being held up because of two guys. Like, I'm not one of those guys who say, well, they haven't signed yet, and I don't want them. Because they got to sign somewhere because they're going to make a living, and they're great players, so might as well be here. I'm not at that point where I'm going to say, you know what? I'm done with Harper. Screw it. He hasn't signed yet. Screw him. I'm not going to do that.
No.
But this is, this is 100 days now.
That's called cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, which I refuse to do. And believe me, I can't cut off anything on this face and live with it. But at this point, we're like at almost like 98 or 99 days, I think. And they haven't signed with anybody. Like, I want to.
I guess at some point, like, look. They're going to wait until so the Super Bowl's over. They weren't going to sign
leading in
while the Super Bowl's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to believe that the next, if I was going to put a guess, I'll say Monday or Tuesday
of next week.
Yeah,
I'll take the over. I'll go March. How about that?
Nah, it'll sign before March.
You think?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it's like Monday or Tuesday, early next week.
I think this is it.
Because it's baseball. Baseball could steal all the headlines. See, you got the NBA trade deadline this week.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to blend in with that. Because people know how powerful that sport is. Why don't you go next week, Monday, Tuesday?
Well, wasn't that the whole point of Hot Stove? To put baseball on the radar at some point in the winter?
Yeah, well.
In the winter meetings?
I mean, that wasn't happening. And the other thing, too, is, between the right time to announce it and the fact that Boris is trying to scare up, any interest.
He's going to the Padres for goodness sake, Ant.
Well, I mean, that's a hey, Phillies, throw more. And you want your bet, you're basically bidding against yourself because there's nobody else.
Yeah.
Padres don't want to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, I go to Boris and say, all right, go to the Padres, have fun. He'll suck. And they don't have the cash. To debilitate their payroll so much.
Yeah, I can't see that. Now, the only thing I can see with Harper is him going back to Washington. But, I mean, I don't know why you would go back to Washington when you come here for more money. Like, you're going to tell me John Middleton won't go higher than whatever Washington would? Yes, he would.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe we need to wrap our head around the fact that maybe he doesn't want to play here. Is that possible?
Yeah, I guess. But I still think
we don't know that. But
I still think it's he's trying to drum up every dollar.
Yeah.
And that's a Mars production.
Yeah, and this is cat and mouse because Machado doesn't want to be the first to fall, neither does Harper. So it's like waiting out the other guy. And it's just, at this point, it's gotten exhausting. And what it's done is it's reached the level of absurdity.
I have a question for you. If they go Machado instead of Harper, like say they have a chance to sign, they have choice, and they go Machado, are you disappointed?
Absolutely. 100% I'm disappointed. He may be the end up being the better baseball decision, but I think this team, and just for baseball in Philadelphia, needs a guy like Bryce Harper more than it needs a personality like Manny Machado. Harper brings on the field, off the field, and while Machado may end up being the better baseball decision, I think the market needs Bryce Harper more than it needs Manny Machado.
Oh, I think Harper will be celebrated more here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you get a third baseman like Machado.
Yeah.
You have an infield of Segura and Machado on that side.
No, you're I mean, from a baseball perspective, you might be right.
Yeah.
But they need
outfield help.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they don't need that. And they're being redundant by getting Harper.
I do have. I mean, I love Harper. So I want
you with
Harper
me then. You would be disappointed.
I love Harper. I'm looking forward to Harper. I'm almost believing he's here.
Yeah, like if you could go over there right now and buy a jersey, a Harper jersey, you'd buy it.
I do. I'm not completely. I won't be dead if they get Machado. I'm still good. My preference is Harper though.
Okay. Yeah, that's my preference as well. And I think if they don't get him, Anthony, and they get Machado, or they don't get him or Machado, then people are going to be really, really despondent going into this season. Especially with it, if it would have happened in December and both signed, you got time to get over it, and they could have made other deals to maybe pacify the Phillies fan base. But with it being this close to spring training and this close to the season, people are like, all right, screw you.
Although I hit the sports in flux.
Yeah, well, you're right about that, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.